week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. Host Cameroon has confirmed new dates for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. The competition was scheduled to be held in June and July, but it will now begin on January 9th and go through February 6th, 2021. In a tweet, the Cameroon Football Federation, FECAFOOT, said the dates were changed for weather reasons at Cameroon's request. June and July in Cameroon are during the country's rainy season, but this change in dates will surely dampen the collective mood of top European clubs. It means they will be without their first team African players at a crucial stage of the European season. Our Voice of America football fans will remember Cameroon was originally scheduled to host the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations, but because of delays in preparations, Cameroon was stripped of the hosting rights and Egypt staged the tournament. Once again, the new dates for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon, January 9th through February 6th. In more African football news, Charles C.K. Okonor has been named the new head coach of Ghana's national team, the Black Stars. The 45-year-old Okonor is a former captain of the Black Stars. He replaces Kwesi Appiah, under whom he was an assistant. Okonor has also coached two of Ghana's most well-known clubs, Hearts of Oak and Asante Kotoko. During his playing days, Okonor was a midfielder who spent much of his career based in Germany with the clubs Fortuna Köln and Wolfsburg, among others. The Ghana Football Association says David Duncan, who has also coached Hearts and Kotoko, has been appointed as Okonor's assistant. The GFA has also appointed coaches for the other national teams, with Mercy Tago returning to her job in charge of the national women's team, the Black Queens. Earlier this month, the GFA removed all of its national team coaches at all levels of the game. The GFA said the drastic move was in line with the vision of new president Kurt Okrekou, who was elected in October 2019. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The former captain of Nigeria's national football team says there are some good home-based players who can help the Super Eagles. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, the chairman, Christian Chukwu, had this to say.
We have talented players, mostly local players. These days, we go abroad. All our players are being invited from abroad, which I'm against till tomorrow, because we have good players back home. Because charity begins at home, as they said, and these players are the players that are ready to fight and die for the country. I'm not saying the foreign players are not good. They are good, but the home base, I think, are more committed to the assignment than the foreign base. We can add a little bit of foreign players, but inviting 30, 40 players of foreign base does not augur well for our football.
What do you think should be done on the side of the NFF, on the side of the coaches, to get more of home-based players to the national team?
Yeah, you remember when Westerhoff was there? He was living in Nigeria. He was not living abroad. And you could remember the players then were all home-based. From there, they take off to Europe, you know. The national team coach should live in Nigeria, watch our national league, because when the team see the coach in the field, you see them performing more. They want the coach to see them and so on. The players. And from there, we get a very strong team. You can camp the home-based players for 1 month, for 2 months, but you cannot camp the foreign base. They come Friday, they play on Sunday, they go back on Monday. So that coordination, there's so many things that will be lacking. They don't know themselves even, because they have not trained together or played together, you know. But when you invite home-based players and you put them in the camp 1 or 2 months, you see the coordination, you see everything. The coach can even help the local players to move forward to Europe and get clubs in Europe.
Let's look at the present Nigerian Professional Football League as constituted. I'm sure you would have had the opportunity of monitoring some of the matches or even watching them. What's your assessment of the league vis-a-vis as in getting the talent that we have to play for the national teams, various national teams?
I think our league is a bit okay. The only thing is that we don't have calendar, you know. We should make sure we have calendar to be rhyming with European clubs and the world. We should belong to the world. It's not when they are off-season we are still playing. It puts a lot of distraction from our players. But if we amend our program and when everybody is off, we are off. The players can have time now to go for trials and every other thing they want to do, you know. And that will not disturb our league. If not so, our league is very good. Our league is fine. And we should be able to invest more on our league.
Thank you very, very much, sir. We say happy birthday to you from the sunny side of sports, Voice of America. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much. You are welcome.
That's the chairman, Christian Chukwu, the former captain of Nigeria's national football team, who recently celebrated his 69th birthday. Happy birthday, chairman! And he was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye in Enugu, Nigeria.
Sporting greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
In African basketball, South Sudan is off to an excellent start at the FIBA AfroBasket pre-qualifying tournament in Kenya. The South Sudanese have posted 3 consecutive victories to start the competition, as we hear now from Lucy Pony in Nairobi.
It's the 3rd game South Sudan won in the Afro Basketball pre-qualifiers that kicked off on Tuesday at the Nyayo National Stadium Gymnasium in Nairobi. In their first game Tuesday, South Sudan dominated throughout, beating Somalia 111-79. And at yesterday's game, the South Sudanese players remained dominant. At halftime, the score was 63-23 in South Sudan's favor. Forward Ball Back scored a game-high 22 points. Other high scorers included Nyang Wek with 15 points, Emmanuel Malau and Makwe Pondak both scored 14 points. For Eritrea, Aaron Zakarias scored 22 points, while Israel Mulugatia scored 14 points. The Secretary General of the South Sudan Basketball Federation, Maria Anyuat Angui, joined many spectators in Nairobi cheering on the South Sudan team.
The team is looking good. South Sudan fans are here. It's a new year, new beginning, and no start and good start for us.
The resounding win puts South Sudan ahead at the pre-qualifiers with 6 points. Somalia, Tanzania, Eritrea, Burundi, Kenya and South Sudan are all battling to qualify in the International Basketball Federation Afro Basketball Tournament. The tournament continues through Saturday and is played in a round-robin format. South Sudan plays 2 more games against Burundi, Tanzania and Kenya. Anyuat says he is cautiously optimistic about the next few games.
The games are not won until you play it. So I really can't tell you how we feel about the game. We will approach it just like any other game, with the full focus and full participation, hoping we get a win.
Anyuat says only one team moves to the next round. The FIBA Afro Basketball qualifications will be held at the end of the year. If South Sudan qualifies, the team will face Senegal, Mozambique and Angola, according to Anyuat. For VOA News, I'm Lucy Pony in Nairobi, Kenya.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
This is the voice of America. Washington, Zip, D.C.
Voice of America.
I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength. A man was calling out of Frankfurt, I made. I heard the voice of America trotting on my wavelength. Singing, come back.
My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson joins us now with a spicy package of sports news. And Jim says he'll be kicking off with the new national champion in U.S. men's college football.
This doesn't come around every year.
While the impressive Louisiana State University victory over Clemson 42-25 doesn't happen every year, the national championship game of U.S. college football does. For LSU head coach Ed Orgeron, known simply as Coach O, the opportunity to play for the title in New Orleans, less than 120 kilometers from campus, was an early season inspiration.
When we saw that the national championship would be in the Superdome at the beginning of the year, we set off target on that, although we did not talk about it. And we felt that once we come in the Superdome, we come out victorious because of the home field advantage.
Clemson came into the game as defending national champions and riding a 29-game unbeaten streak as it aimed for a second straight perfect season. Clemson's notoriously tough defense clamped down early on LSU senior and Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Joe Burrow.
Defense stepped up all game until we started to get rolling, and you know, we feel like you can't hold us down for forever. You know, I think we're too explosive. Our coaches are too good. Our players are too good. Our O-line is too good. And, you know, they had a great plan coming in. Like I said, Coach Vanderbilt is great at what he does, and it just took us a while to get it figured out.
Clemson sophomore Trevor Lawrence entered unbeaten as a college quarterback with a 70-1 record in games he played in dating back to his sophomore year of high school.
First of all, LSU did a really good job
They brought a lot of pressure. They did a good job mixing up the coverages. But just at the end of the day, I just didn't play well enough for us to win, you know. Too many missed plays by me, missed a lot of receivers, and, you know, just wasn't my night.
The missed opportunities were followed along the sideline by head coach Dabo Swinney.
Tonight was all about LSU. What an unbelievable game. You know, we had an opportunity there in the third quarter. I loved how we responded and got the ball back with a three-point lead, and we just couldn't quite put enough plays together.
Meanwhile, Coach O was very focused ahead of the biggest game of his career.
The focus all week was to beat Clemson, not thinking the magnitude of, hey, we're going to win the national championship, what's going to happen, all that. So our focus was, and then the guys just followed it. Man, our focus has been one game at a time, one day at a time. And our guys did a tremendous job.
Down by 10 points in the second quarter, LSU reeled off 3 touchdowns and never looked back.
I thought our guys did a tremendous job of not letting him run the football on us. We knew Trevor was going to make some plays. They made some plays downfield. But you know what? I thought the coach around had a tremendous plan to get pressure. We never panicked. And those 3 and outs and those spots were critical in the ballgame.
LSU's new offense this season set numerous records. In the championship game alone, it racked up 463 passing yards and 6 total touchdowns. Burrow finished his college career with 7 of the top 10 single-game passing performances in LSU history.
We got the rest of this week, and we're going to enjoy this one. A lot of work was put into this that nobody ever saw. Saturdays, Sundays, 7 days a week for 12 months. This is special.
Both schools are already looking toward next season. Clemson is the early number one preseason favorite, as Coach Dabo Swinney reached the national championship game this year with one of the youngest teams ever.
Coming into this year, you know, 80 freshmen and sophomores out of 120. To get back to this point, I'm just super proud of them. It's incredibly difficult to even get here and super hard to win it, that's for sure.
Clemson and LSU now share a rare college football distinction.
We were the first 15-0 team last year, and to see them do it, and they earned it. Simple as that.
This team is going to be mentioned as one of the greatest teams in college football history, 15-0. One of the greatest teams in LSU history, led by some of the greatest players. Give them all the credit.
Joe Burrow next heads to the National Football League. While the expected top draft choice will likely land a deal worth about $37 million, he already has something money can't buy.
What we did tonight can't be taken away from us. I don't know about the whole hero thing, but I know this national championship will be remembered for a long time in Louisiana. To do it in New Orleans is even more special.
Super Bowl 54 is the goal for 4 teams remaining in the National Football League playoffs.
These are the moments that you work for and you think about in the offseason, the chance to put a game away. It doesn't have to be pretty, but what we've done is closed out games the right way. It's a good feeling.
Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers led a final drive down the field to beat the Seattle Seahawks 28-23.
There are moments in a season that rank higher than others, and this obviously is one of those moments where, you know, based on the way their offense was moving the ball, I knew I was going to have to make some plays tonight and felt good about the preparation and the performance. I felt really locked in from Wednesday on and practiced well and felt really good today all day.
Green Bay coach Matt LaFleur was impressed.
It's a resilient group. It wasn't always pretty at times, but, you know, it was great. At the end of the game there, we made plays when we had to. Our defense stepped up and was able to get that sack on Russell, and then there's no better way to close out a football game than in a 4-minute mode where you have to convert a couple third downs.
Seattle quarterback Russell Wilson was proud his team fought to the end.
That's the good thing about us. It's never over. That's the thing that we bring to the table. It's never over. I think about the first half, it didn't go the way we wanted to, obviously. You got to play better there. But what we did in the second half, pretty special.
Despite the loss, Seahawks coach Pete Carroll is optimistic this Seattle team is retracing the steps it took to its first Super Bowl title.
This is the start of this team. I think this is, it feels like 2012 all over again. And y'all can come.
The visiting Houston Texans took a 24-0 lead over the Kansas City Chiefs. But Houston coach Bill O'Brien wanted more as the heavily favored Chiefs came back to win 51-31.
Yeah, I mean, 24-0 was a really good lead, like no doubt about it. But I don't think any lead is safe versus these guys, and that's why we felt like we needed 50 points, and we weren't able to do that.
Kansas City coach Andy Reid didn't panic amid the early deficit.
We just felt that, listen, if we're not shooting ourselves in the foot, we're going to be okay. And so we settled down and did a nice job.
Veteran Houston defensive end J.J. Watt was frustrated to allow so many Kansas City points.
Sports are all about highs and lows. I mean, that's really when you boil it down to it, that's what it's about. It's about people come to the game, people play the game to experience those highs and lows. And today we experienced an extreme high early. Experienced a hell of a lot of blows as the game went on.
Young superstar quarterback Patrick Mahomes threw for 321 yards and 5 touchdowns as Kansas City reeled off 41 consecutive points for the win.
The biggest thing that I think I was preaching to the team was let's go do something special. Let's go do something special. Everybody's already counting us out. Let's just go play by play and just put our best effort out there. And I mean, obviously, I knew as a team we had to kind of everything had to go the right way, but the defense stepped up. Special teams stepped up. Offensively, we started making the plays we weren't making, and play by play, we just chipped away at that lead, and then they got the half and came out the second half and kept firing.
Kansas City will next host the Tennessee Titans, who stunned the Baltimore Ravens 28-12. As a former New England Patriots star, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel truly appreciated what his team did.
It was great to watch the players execute a game plan that the coaches worked very hard at. And again, all the credit goes to the coaches and most especially the players. They're the ones that went out there and executed and locked in all week and then came here in a hostile, difficult environment and was able to get off to the fast start that we talked about.
Running back Derrick Henry has been a key part of Tennessee's surprise success.
Believing in each other, no matter what's thrown at us, no matter what happens, is believing in each other. Just keep pushing, keep on finishing. My coach preaches about finishing, and that's what we try to do when we're out there.
Baltimore coach John Harbaugh could only praise the Titans after the game.
I felt like they played winning football, you know, and they did it in a tough environment. They got the job done, so they'll be moving forward. We wish them all the best moving forward. Disappointed that we didn't play the kind of football we needed to play to win the game. That'll stick with us for a long time.
Usually on the winning side, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson has a long offseason to think about next season.
Everybody hate losing. You know, I wanted to win this game. My team wanted to win this game. Coaching staff, just got to move on. Like I said, get ready for next year.
San Francisco 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan was pleased with both his offense and defense in a 27-10 win over the Minnesota Vikings.
So it was just a hell of a job by the O-line coming off the ball, getting some push. When you can do that, you wear the guys down and force them to change some of their coverages a little bit. And our defense kept getting us the ball back. And same with the special teams. You know, that long punt that they had, that we had, and Raheem being able to come down there, cause that fumble, that was huge too. And just a great overall win for the whole team.
Minnesota head coach Mike Zimmer has a similar assessment of the 49ers.
I think, you know, they played very well. I thought they got off blocks well. I thought they did a nice job of disrupting the passing game as well. And so, I think that all those entered into it.
Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins could see why San Francisco was the top team in the National Conference.
I thought the 49ers were a good team, and they earned the number one seed and home field advantage throughout the way they played this season. And they were tough today.
San Francisco quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo threw for a touchdown before watching his team's running game and defense seal the win.
Running backs ran hard, all those guys, just even the receivers. I mean, it takes all the guys offensively to run the ball, and we did a good job of it today.
The winners of the two conference championship games this week will play in Miami on February 2nd in Super Bowl 54.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. And I encourage our VOA listeners to check out Jim's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. And that wraps up the January 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
The 62nd annual Grammy Awards show is coming up. To celebrate, Border Crossings will play songs from the winners of the 2019 American Music Awards to refresh you on some of last year's best tracks. Tune in to hear from your favorite artists like Post Malone, BTS, and Taylor Swift, January 23rd on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
A team led by astronomers at the Carnegie Institution for Science are reporting the discovery of 5 new exoplanets. 2 of the planets, described as super-Earths, were found in the habitable zones of their host stars. They were identified as GJ180D, which has about 7.5 times the mass of our planet, and GJ229AC, that's 7.9 times more massive than Earth. Another of the newfound planets, called GJ433D, is described as a super-cold Neptune-like planet that orbits its host star from a distance at which surface water is likely to be frozen. All 3 orbit red dwarf stars, the most common stars in the Milky Way, and are only about 19 to 40 light-years away from us. The astronomers used the radial velocity method, which checks for tiny wobbles in a star's orbit, to find the new planets. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat and dumbolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.